Hallelujah. You ready for the word?
Yes, sir.
Let's raise our hands together. Let's say together. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, in this service, we take our place in Christ with our hearts purified by faith and by your spirit. We have meekness in our heart, humility, and a teachable spirit. In this service, we receive your word in clarity, precision, and understanding. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he's glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 1. Now we're, this series, like I said, I'm likely going to teach it towards the end of the year. Just teaching it in blocks. Now the emphasis is on the believer's authority, but more importantly, the supernatural, you call it the life of, or the life in the spirit. You know, that's the emphasis we're going to have. So, in fact, I was going to tell those in the second service to ensure that they pay attention to it, because we have quite some things that we'll be teaching between now and when the series is on. So I'm going to have you pay good attention this morning. Matthew's Gospel 1, seated on high. Am I right? Huh? Alright, Matthew's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1. We're going to have something to deal with this morning, so I need your attention a whole lot, to, you know, get a hold of what we have to say. Matthew's Gospel 1 verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said the word there is Genesis, which means that, there is a systematic way of reading the Bible. That even those who wrote the synoptic gospels, as we call them, they wrote it in a systematic way. In other words, they're writing the life of Jesus, taking their insight from the book of Genesis. Because that word, that statement here, you're going to find it in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. So which means that they're not just writing history, they're deliberately writing theology. Theology simply means the study of God, okay? They're writing theology. They're writing an understanding of God, even though they're writing from what they can see, but they're taking their knowledge and insight, which means that, you know, it's not enough to have an eye experience, an eyewitness experience. An eyewitness experience must be explained according to the scriptures. So they're explaining the life of Jesus according to the scriptures. They're following the same pattern of sticking with, you know, the book of Genesis, just like Jesus did in Luke's Gospel 24. We'll get that in a moment. Now in Matthew 28, you know, you started a book by saying the son of David, the son of Abraham, then Jesus himself now says in verse 18, all authority in heaven and in earth is given me. Now, that already shows you that this person is not just a man. Okay? By saying all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, then he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. 20. Now the word authority there, of course, in 19 is the power, there is authority. Now in 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Now no human being can tell you I'm with you. So this confers on him again the right of deity. That is, this is God. I am with you always to the end of the world. Amen. And we told you that the end of the world is not when the world is coming to an end. Is that clear? I believe we've done that study, right? That's not what it means. So I'm with you until the meeting of the ages, until when all the times come together. And this is the time we're in. Amen. We're in the end of the world. End of the world, we've studied it, means all the times of scripture coming together in one place. That's what it means. Was that clear to you? Come and talk to me, guys. Very good. I'm with you. Now, I am is Exodus name. When he appeared to Moses, I am with you. Right? Then he said that same to Jacob. I will be with you. I am with you. So by speaking like that, he's telling you the echoes from Genesis, echoes from Exodus. right? Which means that he is directing our minds back to who he is, not just in the four gospels, but from the Old Testament. So we said. Now, that Christ, Christology, the study of Christ, we do that in, we call that in study of scriptures, we call something Christology, where you study Christ. We said Christology is not a promise. It's not the scriptures pointing to someone in the future. Yes, there is a manifestation of God in a man in the future, but Christ, Christology in the epistles also points us back to the Old Testament, which means that while the Old Testament points us to the New Testament, okay, to view what God will do as a man, the New Testament books point us back to the Old Testament to see who God is. Which means that Christ is not just a New Testament personality, it is a personality that's active, present, effective, and effectual within the books of the Old Testament. And that's what Matthew is doing here for us. Mark's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1, see the intended intention. Don't mind my point. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So everyone is using the term Genesis. The word beginning there is arche, A-R-C-H-E, in the Greek. Now why do we mention the Greek? Again, I repeat, because the writers spoke in Greek. Why do we mention the Hebrew? Because the writers spoke in Hebrew. So the Greek here is arche, A-R-C-H-E, which is a shade of the word Genesis. So again, Mark is directing our minds to Genesis. Mark 1:1. Now go to Luke 1:1. Oh, maybe Mark 16 one more time. Mark 16, going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, verse 15. Let's quickly go to verse 19. Soon after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And we said, heaven is what? The invisible world in this world. Is that clear? Come on now. Heaven is the invisible. Heaven is not outside the earth. That's the wrong thing, teaching. And a couple of things I'm going to teach in the second service on how words have changed use over time. I'm going to talk about the office of a pastor in the second service. How words that was not intended by the authors, we're now using them. Okay? No one in scripture called heaven where people go to when they die. No, nobody did. And remember Moses, in Deuteronomy 30, he said, in fact, if you notice, in Genesis, we were there last week, we'll come back today again, when heaven was mentioned as something God did in the earth. In Genesis 1. In fact, in Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3, heaven and earth were finished together. In Deuteronomy 30, now, I know this is a bit tough sometimes because the idea, I know that's the thing about theology when it's wrong. It will stay so much that you start believing in a lie. I had someone who, you know, sometimes when you believe a lie, the lie will become true. You know, you know, will come true because it has become true to even though it's a lie. You know, there are people who believe that. And you have people, they have visions. They say they went to hell. And then they say the hell was burning with fire. Was burning with fire. And, you know, sound like it would burn so well. Okay, oh, you're gone. Trousers, women, trousers. You are in hell right now. So it's burning and burning. But if you explain hell to people properly, they might not see fire there. And then say, false doctrine. You know, because that's how they think. So the thing will come out in your dreams, it will come out in your vision. I remember when my dad took us out to watch this movie by one of my grand uncles, Ibato Gunde, here at Unilag, the main auditorium. So we watched one. The title is Aye. You know what Aye is? Aye is Aye. World. And I think, so there was now a cat. The cat, the evil spirit would turn to a cat. If I tell you I'm your pastor, right? If I tell you that till today, that's how I still see cats. Even though I know it was a movie, but I'm looking at cats, I'm saying, Is that not Sister Faith? I'm telling you. So you can, some things, particular things you learn when you were young, you're looking like this. I had a teacher that I didn't like at school. He was very, you know, usually math teachers are very wicked. It's not true. See what I just threw at you. You agreed because somewhere in your mind, you agreed in primary school. This particular teacher had a mark. Mr. Yeboah. So I used to believe that anyone who has a mark in his head is a wicked person. You know, things can stay with you like that. So when you have things like, hey, heaven, and you got born again, so you should strive to go to heaven. But Moses told Israel that he went to heaven and brought the law. And Moses did not die when he did. Hallelujah. He didn't die. So it's a thinking. So when you come to church, you drop, someone said, when I see God's word, I drop my beliefs like hot potatoes. Phew, throw it out of your mouth. In 19, he says, he went to heaven and sat right on God. Now, this is not a departure, because the next verse says, so they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking, how can the Lord who went away now be walking with them? And confirming the word with signs following, amen. He's walking with the word, because he's there. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken the hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which are solely believed amongst us, even as delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus. So we said that this is the A part of the book of Acts. If you go to Acts 1:1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. So this is the same book. Luke and the book of Acts is the same book, only split into two. So which means that if I'm reading Acts, I must ensure I read Luke. If I'm reading Luke, I must conclude with the book of Acts. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Come on, let me see. Come on, let me see. Oh, good. So that's what the book of Luke is about. Now Luke 24... And if you notice, there's a pattern in the book of Luke that I'm going to show you now. Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ also these things to enter into his glory. 25 to 27. Verse 27. Now, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses. Can you see it's consistent? Is it consistent? Matthew, Mark, Luke wrote the account of Jesus from where? Genesis to Malachi. Now 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. 45 says, then he opened you the understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Let me show you something quickly. Now this idea of taking us back to the Old Testament is consistent in Luke's writing. In Acts 1, when they're going to choose who will replace Judas, look at 16. It says, for the scriptures must indeed be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke concerning Judas, which was guided to them. So they go back to the Old Testament. In Acts 2, when they spoke with tongues and everybody came to ask questions, look at it, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, Acts 2:16. Look at Acts 3, verse 18. And those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, Christ shall suffer, he hath also fulfilled. Okay? Acts 4:25. Who by the mouth of his servant David had said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 30. Now this is cryptic, not direct, but cryptic. Cryptic means that it's pointing to the same things. It says here, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew, and hanged on a tree. The God of our fathers. And that's pointing again to the Old Testament books. Acts 7. Now Acts 7 definitely will be a whole sermon where Stephen began. Verse 2, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. So the sermon was again from the Old Testament. Acts 8. Where you find Philip, met the Enoch. The Enoch is reading, verse 30, prophet Isaiah. Understand that word they are reading. He's reading from Isaiah. Acts 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached to him Jesus from the Old Testament. Okay? Acts 9. Paul is now saved, is Saul, he's saved. So he goes, verse 20, and straight away he preached Christ in the synagogue that he was the Son of God. Okay? Look at verse 22. He increased more in strength and confounded the Jews with 12 miracles, proving that this is the very Christ. So he's preaching from the Old Testament books. Now look at Acts 10, where you find Peter in the house of Cornelius. Look at verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. There's something I missed out. Acts 3. Pardon me. Go back there. Acts 3. And verse 22. I'll start from 21 actually. Whom the heaven must receive on the time of the decision of all things, Acts 3:21, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Since the world began is when? Huh? Genesis, thank you. Acts 10, yeah, we've seen that. Acts 11. Okay. Acts 11. No, Acts 12, I wanted to say. Acts 12. You have, Acts 13, follow me. Acts 13, this is Paul in the synagogue. Okay? Verse 17. The God of his people, of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people whom they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an iron hand brought them out. Then he goes on, and verse 27. Not yet the voices of the prophets, which I read every Sabbath day, they fulfilled in condemning him. Verse 33, or verse 32, and we declare unto you glad times which the promise had been made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto their children. Look at verse 39. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things which couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. So you go on and on. Acts 15, Acts 20, Acts. So the emphasis, go to Acts 28, the emphasis of the book of Acts again takes us back to the Old Testament. Acts 28. So we said, the Old Testament is not just a book of promises and prophecies. It is the doctrine of the church. Acts 28 and 23. And when they had appeared upon unto him a day, there came to him in his lodging to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of where? The law of Moses, the prophets from morning till evening. Acts 26. And just mention that too. And we'll move from there. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say shall come. Acts 17. So the book of Acts is filled with teaching from the Old Testament books. Acts 17 and verse 2. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Let's take three together. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and this, that is Jesus whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So they always went back to the Old Testament. That's the doctrine of the church. Okay? Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word, and we say that word is Dabar. That personal revelation of God in the Old Testament where God becomes visible to men. We saw it with Abraham, saw it with Elijah, saw it with Samuel, saw it with Jacob, where he's visible. Moses, he's visible. That is the same way you can see me right now. He's the same way people saw him. And that wasn't the incarnation. Now John is saying the word, the Dabar Yahweh of the Old Testament, has become flesh, become a man. So man is not the only visible being. But this time around, the visible God now becomes visible as a man. Again, John's Gospel 20 and verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Them italicized there. "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." We said the breathe there is emphusao in the Greek. Now, if you take the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is the Bible, Jesus used about 80% of the time. And also the apostles. Alright? You see that word used in Genesis 2:7. The Lord God made man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the word there. Emphusao. You see it again in Ezekiel 37 verse 9, where Ezekiel says, "Come you breath from all the corners and breathe into." Talking about God's spirit. So, for Jesus to breathe into men, that's something God did in the Old Testament. That means the writers are saying, this is Yahweh God. So, in other words, to know who Jesus is, I'll need to go back and read the Old Testament. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Are you getting this? To know who he is, I read the Old Testament. Therefore, we said, the New Testament books, which involves the epistles, is written in what we have called the codified language. I'm going to repeat that again. The codified language is when a book is teaching from another book. Rather than use all the contents of the book, because the writer knows you have that book, it shortens that book in phrases, uses what you can call shorthand. All right? Such that the shorthand really points you back to a longhand. Pardon my, is it accidental grammar? But it means that the New Testament words find their explanation in Old Testament illustrations and explanation. And we're going to see that in detail. Because next week, I want to explain to you in detail what the New Testament writers call the Spirit. So you see it. What they call the Spirit. Because the intention of this series is to see how believers ought to walk in the supernatural. And I told you, the supernatural doesn't always appear spectacular. Spectacular is, hey, you saw something, boom, and you go, you know, something flashy. No, it doesn't always have to be spectacular. And the supernatural is the realm of the believer, God's intention for man. And that's what we've been studying. You hear? Are you still there? So, we go to the Old Testament to understand. Now, man, the first thing about man is that man, God has made man capable of functioning in three worlds. Three worlds. Now, we've done this study before, I'm just going to go back there. Now, when you read the word earth, right? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Now you got to be very keen and listen well. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth. The word there is Shemayim. Shemayim. S-H-A-M-A-Y-M. It means something that is high. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean distance. It just means that it is distinguished. It's a way to distinguish something that is high and what is beneath it. So, it says God created the heaven and the earth. Now, God created the heaven and the earth. I want you to pay very good attention. Now, the word earth is the word Eretz. E-R-E-T-S. We've already done this study in this series. I'm just going to reemphasize it for you. Look at the next statement. And the earth was without form and void. So, the earth, we're going to see now, also includes heaven and earth. The earth also includes heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void. And it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Go quickly to verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under. Watch this. Which were under the firmament. So within the earth, right? Okay, let's start from 6. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. So you divided the waters. Now, is this material creation or an illustration? Says Kamilicho, talk to me. Illustration. Very good. We've done this study. Now, divided the waters from the waters. Look at 7. Now, we're still in the earth, right? Come on. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. We are still in the earth, right? Now look at 8. And God called the firmament what? And this heaven is where?
In the earth.
And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now watch this. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And the dry land appeared was so. And God called the dry land earth. So within the earth we have what? Heaven and earth. Within the world we live in, we have the seen world and the unseen world. Now look at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for light for on the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Can you see it now? To give light upon where? The earth. So heaven and earth are in the same place. The visible and the invisible. The seen and the unseen. At the center of this is man. So, man is made to function in three worlds. I'll show you the third one shortly. So, Genesis chapter 2. Look at 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, pay attention to verse 8. Have your Bible with you, right? Have your Bible with you. You will never learn what I'm teaching if you don't read your Bible. Look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted what? Now, is this an horticultural place or a supernatural world? A garden eastward in Eden. So we have seen that the word garden there, gan, is a sacred area. Eden is luxury, special. So a garden is enclosed area. Eden is special. We've done this study, right? Come on. Have we? Very good. So which means God now made a sacred place. A sacred area. And you will know that this area is sacred. You know why? When you saw trees, and the tree had life, and you had one good and evil that brought death, that is not a farm. Is that clear? And it's not food poisoning. That's not a farm. Then you find the same man, watch this, the same man, God caused him to go into a deep sleep. And we said, it's not that he fell asleep. Deep sleep is a vision. Genesis 2 and 21. A deep sleep. In Genesis 15, we saw that same deep sleep in Abraham. Genesis 15. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep, verse 12, Genesis 15, fell upon Abraham, and lo, and all darkness fell upon him. So which means it's a vision. We saw it happen also to Jacob, Genesis 28, verse 12, where he dreamed. So, now notice that man, by Genesis 2, right, was caused to have visions. Why? Because God took man to his sacred place in Genesis 2:9. Man is made in the earth, God takes him to his secret place. Genesis 2 verse 8. So, man can function in two worlds. In the supernatural world, or call it the unseen world. Say, I function in the unseen world. I don't think I heard, I function in the unseen world. Now the question is, are you effective? This is the genesis of man. To function in the natural and in the supernatural. Now, let's see Eden. You know, we said, heaven is what is where? High. Come on, to distinguish it. Quickly, go to Ezekiel 28. And Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. I'm just going to review for you, and you know that. Put your hands in there and then go to Genesis 3 verse 1. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent. Can you change that for me? Now the, change it for me. Have you been sleeping in this service? Now the, what is it? That's too quick. Now the, before you get the Son of God. Divine being. Diviner. The Nakash. Serpentine. You don't be studying this service. Is he a shining being? Very good. Serpentine, shining being, supernatural being, is not a snake, oh. Is that clear? A supernatural being. So, you could see, man therefore, has interactions with supernatural beings. Now, I said to us earlier, it's whether you are effective or not. Okay? So you have this, the shining being, supernatural being, right? Than any beast of the field. Now, notice God's judgment on this supernatural being. Genesis 3. And verse 14. Because thou hast done this, you are cursed above all cattle, above all fruit of field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go. Watch this. And thou shalt eat dust all the days of your life. Okay? Above all, it says, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life. Now, go to Isaiah 14. Go to Isaiah 14 quickly. Verse 12. Thou art falling from heaven. Okay? Thou art falling from heaven, O Lucifer. Now, that's really the Vulgate translation of the Latin word. It should be the shining one. Okay? Son of the morning. Now, who are sons of the morning? Sons of God. Come on. Job 38:7. Stars. Are they also called morning stars? Okay, good. Thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Now the word ground here is similar to the word eretz, the earth. Look at verse 13. For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt. Now notice heaven is always high. You can see, I will ascend to heaven as though he wasn't there. He is in heaven, but there is heaven of heaven. Which means heaven just describes what is high. Come on, are you here? Okay, good. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Is that the sons of God? Huh? Supernatural beings. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation on the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now look at 13. Let's take 13 together. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Now that's Hades in the Greek. Sheol in the Hebrew. S-H-E-O-L. To the sides of the pit. Now put this down because we're going to study this. Hades or Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, is called the underworld. The underworld. But notice that this underworld spoken of here is in the earth. So that means we have three worlds. We have heaven, the sin world, and on the underworld. Pay attention to all these definitions, because from next week, we're going to hit on it. Are you there? Heaven, the earth, and the underworld. Heaven, the earth, and the underworld. And they are all together called the earth. The New Testament writers will just call it the world. The world. Look at Ezekiel 28. Are you in church? Are you in church? Ezekiel 28 now. I'm going to read verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect and beauty. Thou art been in hidden the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold, workmanship of thy tablets, of thy harps, were prepared in the day which thou was created. So you can say the shining one, right? Is that the Nakash? Is that the Nakash? The shining one. Look at 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. I've set thee also, now let's read the B part of 14. Thou, I'll wait for you, let's go. Thou was upon the holy. So what's another name for Eden? Holy mountain. So was hidden on high. Huh? Who's following this? Can you see this? Hidden was also on high. Now go back to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 2, sorry. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is planted to the side, good for food. Genesis 2, 9. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From hence it was parted, it came into the forest. Now, in the Hebrew, it went down. Okay? I'll show you this from the Septuagint. Remember the Septuagint? Is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Genesis 2. It says here, the river goes out from Eden to water the paradise, from that place separates from the sources. It goes down. So, Genesis 2 paints the picture of the Garden of Eden being somewhere up. Okay? So, up. So man was made by God to function high and here. Who's following this? You following this? High, here. Therefore, what happened to Adam and Eve, which is a function of sin, was they were brought out. Brought down. That's why it's called the fall. We're going to examine what that means later on. The fall. So therefore, the effect of sin is in the supernatural. That's the effect of sin. The effect of sin is in the supernatural. So man is in three worlds. Look at Exodus 20. So So I look at my walk with God. I look at my life as a man from the supernatural perspective. And I told you this before and I'm going to repeat it. This is the reason, because of how God made man, this is why man, right, universal man, craves for the supernatural. It craves for the unseen. This is why you have a thirst for knowledge in man. A thirst for education. Now, when the unseen is not met, man dabbles into science either positively or negatively. That is how God made man. It's obvious that the natural man, who is not born again, knows there is more to know. That can now be perverted. He can make people go into all sorts of vices because man is made that way. He's to function in more than one sphere of the world. So whenever I see people who are into things like drugs, they're into the occult. The first thing I notice is, I can't just look easily, is this is a perverted desire. Something God has planted in your heart, but it's perverted. So it's an hunger that even the man doesn't know why he has the hunger. He doesn't know. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Are you getting this? He doesn't know. Now, that is the reason why we preach the gospel. So the gospel actually helps a man find his purpose for living. Look at Exodus 20. Still in church? Are you still in church? Watch this now. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Let's read it together. Of anything that is where? I'll wait for you. That is where? Heaven above, the earth beneath, and that is the water under the... How many walls? Three walls. So, man has the capacity to relate in three walls. And all these walls are where? In the earth. They are all in the earth. Therefore, let's run through this quickly. The identity of man is supernatural. So when we read the word earth is not just material thing. Go to Genesis 6 again. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. So we said, and you see, another thing we probably going to look at more in detail is, usually, and this is a very one-sided theology, whenever you talk to people about why did Jesus come, and they say, well, Jesus came to redeem us from what Adam and Eve did. So everybody's attention is on Adam and Eve. And that's been like that for less than 1,000 years. The Adam and Eve. But if you come to the New Testament, and you read the epistles, and even the Old Testament books, you will see a lesser emphasis on Adam and Eve. Because in the book of Genesis, there were three rebellions of mankind. Three of them. The first one is Genesis 3, which we just read. But Genesis 3 is not the only thing in Genesis. In fact, oftentimes that we've done this study before, it's in our books as well, Genesis 3 is more of an archetype. It is not a corporate thing. So those who trace man's sin to Adam and Eve have a wrong theology. It's wrong. Say, I'm a sinner because Adam sinned. That's nonsense. You're not a sinner because Adam sinned. You're a sinner because you sinned. That's not true. So, in Genesis 3, we have to call an actor that is, this is what sin does. No, this is why I sin. Mm-mm. This is what sin does. And so you know that sin is not passed by procreation or by sex or by genealogy. You found Cain and Abel. Cain is not righteous. Abel is righteous. And they came from the same parents. That undoes procreation being responsible for why people sin. And that even flows throughout Genesis. We have Jacob and Esau from the same parents. And they are different. We have Isaac and Ishmael. We have the children of Jacob himself. We have Joseph, then his other brothers. We have the children of Noah. So, to assume that people have sin passed on by genealogy is wrong. The reason why men sin is because God gave man a free will. I remember years ago, the way I taught this was quite, I won't say it like that again then. I said, do you know that God is the one who gave you sin nature? People's eyes almost came out of their eye sockets. I said, what is the sin nature? He gave you a free will. God does not superimpose on anyone. He's always been persuasive. So, oftentimes because our eyes are fixed on Adam and Eve and the tree and whatever fruit they ate, whether it's mango or pawpaw or something, you know. But you find in Genesis two different times where you find, in fact, these are louder in New Testament books. Genesis 6. So the very first time that man sinned, or we saw sin, was there a supernatural being involved? Huh? Very good. And the effect was also in the supernatural. Genesis chapter 6. It came to pass, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them, wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore them children, the same men, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw, let's take five together, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So, the thing had an effect in the earth. Now, let me read this to you from the Greek Bible, the Greek translation, which is in English here. It happened when humans began to become numerous upon the earth and their daughters. Then he says, angels of God. Now we said angels is the New Testament Greek's way of talking about who? Sons of God. Or Elohim, right? Okay. Having seen daughters of humans, which were beautiful, took for themselves women from all their picked out. The Lord said, my breath will certainly not reside in these humans for very long because they are flesh, but their days shall be 120 years. Now giants were upon the earth in those days. After that, whenever, this is what I want to pick up, whenever the sons of God entered into the daughters of humans, they fathered children for themselves, those were the giants who were from long ago, the people of renown. And there was wickedness in the earth. This is the reason for the flood. And what happened here? He says here, verse 5, every imagination of the thoughts of the earth were only evil continually. Then you see verse 11. Let's take verse 11 together. The earth. Now, what we say the earth? Material world of men? Huh? Men, good. Natural and supernatural? Huh? Come on. Alright, good. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Rebellion 2. Now, we can also have Genesis 4. Put that in your mind. When Cain killed Abel. In verse 7, look at God's warning. God's warning to Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, sin lies at your door. The word there is crouch. Sin there is personified. Sin lies at your door. Supernatural being is intended. In fact, this animal used for this kind of word is a lion, to crouch. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, the last of it, the old earth was of one language and of one speech. Genesis 11, 1. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone, and slime that had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build of us a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. We may make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So this is the third rebellion. Now, Jesus' death is for the three. If you are fixing on Adam and Eve, you will not know what he did concerning Genesis 6 and what he did concerning Genesis 11. So, pay attention. Genesis 3 deals with a sacred place. A sacred place. Genesis 6 deals with a sacred place, but this time around man himself. Genesis 11, a sacred place. A people. So, this is, pay attention to the definition. Genesis 3, Eden, sacred place, where man ought to be. In fellowship with God. Genesis 6, God's spirit in man. Right? That is, man as God's sacred place. Genesis 6. Genesis 11, the whole earth as God's sacred place. Pay attention, please. So Jesus, we can say safely that the death of Jesus is to recover fully God's sacred place. Is to recover fully God's sacred place. So the death of Jesus is for primarily the supernatural. The supernatural. Watch this now. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Is it making sense now why he went into heaven when he rose? Huh? Is it making sense? Now, Genesis chapter, Deuteronomy 32. So let's pick it one by one. Genesis 3 was a scenario heavenly. Come on. Genesis 6. Was it heavenly? Was it heavenly? Genesis 11? Heavenly. Heavenly on earth. Good. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the days of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and they will show you. Thy elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of the sons of what? Sons of God. We have been here. Now, which scenario is Moses describing? Huh? When was the earth divided? Genesis 11. Now I'm going to read to you that translation or that text from different translations. Now, why this is wrong, I'll tell you. Was because the next verse says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. There was no Israel in Genesis 11. So it is not possible for there to be children of Israel in Genesis 11. Who's following what I'm saying here? It's not possible. This is Genesis 11. Now, let me read this to you from different translations. I did it on Wednesday. The English Standard Version. He fixed the borders of the people according to the number of the sons of God. The Berean Study Bible. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of God. Berean Study Bible. Brenton Septuagint Translation. When the Most High divided the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the nations according to the numbers of the angels of God. That's the Septuagint, right? Does it make sense? Contemporary English Version. That Most High, God Most High, gave land to every nation. He assigned a guardian angel to each of them. A guardian angel. Good News Translation. The Most High assigned nations their lands. He determined where people should live. He assigned to each nation a heavenly being. One day I'll tell you why the other translations use children of Israel, but not today. Just one more. Okay, good. The literal, the International Standard Version. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of God. The Literal Standard Version. He set up the borders of the peoples by the numbers of the sons of God. New American Bible. It set up the boundaries of the peoples after the number of divine beings. Now, this is my best translation on this. New Living Translation, interestingly. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, I'm going to explain to you why we preach the gospel. Pay attention. When the Most High assigned lands to the people, to nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number in his heavenly court. Now you know why I like it, right? You don't know. When the Most High, the English Standard Version, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided the mankind, he fixed the borders of the people according to the numbers of the sons of God. So there is a strong preponderance, which is understandable, that what he's describing here, Genesis 11, who said that, the children of God here, or the sons of God, are the divine beings. Right? Which are also called sons of God. Or members of God's supernatural assembly. Now, go back to Genesis 11. So there's a rebellion. What's the rebellion? Man is making sacred place for God. No. In Eden, who makes his own sacred place? God. He brings man in. It's not man that makes a place and brings God in. So this is idolatry. This is idolatry. So we said here that this is not building a skyscraper. Are you there? Come on, are you following this? This is Ziggurat, which is a temple place, a place of worship. So, when a man is building a place for God to dwell, he is in rebellion. I think your head is going, what Moses did, relax. Huh? What about Solomon? Calm down. None of them built a place for God. Not one. We're going to see it. So, Genesis 11, God's sacred place is intended. So, watch this now. So when God said, let us, verse 7, let us go down and there confound their language that they may understand. Genesis 11 verse 7. And as which the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. This is the name of the place called Babel. So what's going on here? God, now listen well. And this explains why we have deities in the world. There is no God. Now, I know you want to use small G-O-D, it's fine. But there is no divine being that is being worshipped anywhere in the world that was not created by God. Not one. So what has it done here? It has, and we call this, Brother Hagin will call it the permissive will of God. He has left man to his imaginations, but in doing that, he now assigned his own divine beings, call them sons of God, call them Elohim, to the nations. Now, if you go to Genesis, you notice that who did God put in charge of the nations? Man. Who's following this? In man's rebellion, he allows, call them angels, I don't want to use that word, but for the purpose of this service, you say angels, or divine beings in the earth. That is what he has done. Now, are these beings also called stars of God? Huh? Are they also in God's supernatural assembly? Are they called sons of God? Pay attention. Also, I'm going to take away the fixation of one devil from your mind. There is no one. There's one devil. And one devil. You think there's one devil. And that same devil is in America and here. Of course, he's lost in America. And it's here. No. We're going to do that distinction. Are you here? Are you good? So, we're going to see why we preach the gospel. So, Genesis 6, Genesis 11, Genesis 6, to recover man, or man as God's sacred place. Always remember what I just said. Man as God's sacred place. Genesis 3, man in God's sacred place. Genesis 6, man as God's sacred place. Genesis 11, the earth, come on, as God's sacred place. So group it in three. This explains why Jesus died. So when you say sin, don't let sin be just personal, even though it is. It deals with what is in the earth. We're going to see why he shed his blood. Who's following this? Very good. Now, watch this. So when the serpent was cast to the earth, it's still here, right? Come on. So it's about, is it about, when you hit the earth, the heaven of heavens, it's about, call it hierarchy, call it authority, okay? And you're going to write. We're going to see all of that as we study. So go to Psalm 82. Before I get Psalm 82, look at 2 Peter, chapter 2. Learning something? You learning something? 2 Peter, chapter 2. Verse 4, and slowly. Now, yet again, says Community Church, when New Testament, which is written from the Septuagint, when it uses angels, it refers to what? Sons of God, Elohim, divine beings. Are you here? We said angel is no particular person. Angel is a job description. That's why angel is also used for God, is used for men. Are you following this? But I told you why the New Testament writers, the Septuagint, used angel is to make a distinction. But we'll always need to go back to see who or what the writers are calling angels are referred to as sons of God. Are we here? Good. Let's add this also. We've done this study before. That means that at creation, God had a family in heaven and on earth. Supernatural beings, angels, we call them now, but sons of God, and man. put that together. We'll see that in a moment. So go to 2 Peter 2, verse 4. Let's take it together. 2 Peter 2, 4. Are you here? Let's go. For if God spared not the... Hold on. Let's all type. For if God spared not the... That sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto... Are you here? Now, watch this now. Notice that the angels there is plural. Right? So is this Genesis 3 or 6? Huh? Look at the next verse. And spared not the whole world, which means this is Genesis, because it mentions Noah. Come on. Is it Genesis 3 or 6? 6. A preacher of righteous bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So, Jude. Learning something here? Verse 6. Let's read it together. Jude 6. Let's go. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, until the judgment of the great day. That's Genesis 1? Huh? 3 or 6? 6. Look at, that's why the next incident is, and as Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the next one. So you have supernatural beings, right, were involved. Okay? Now, why do you say cast to hell? We're going to mention that. Now, the word hell here, we're going to explore. We've done a study on this, but we have books on it, we have series on it. I'm going to explain it again to us. Okay? So, we can call this beings, call them disembodied spirits. Disembodied. Stripped spirits. When you strip someone of his honor. Okay? That's Genesis 6. Okay? And we're going to see this in every epistle shortly. How they gave allusions to it. Every epistle. Now go to Psalm 82. Are you in church? Psalm 82. I told you, don't ever tell anybody there's no other God but God. That's not true. Is that clear? That's not true. The word God is not for a specific being. Is that clear? It means a spirit being. Right? Many times. Let's go to Psalm 82. Verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges amongst the gods. Okay? How long would you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Now let's take verse 5 and slowly. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundation of the earth are out of court. Now did you notice that both Jude and Peter used darkness for those beings? Huh? Now darkness refers to something in the earth. You see why scripture says we are delivered from the power of darkness and translated to the kingdom of God's name. So, and everything is here on the earth. So I'm going to read this to you from the Septuagint Bible. Now there have been arguments about Psalm 82, whether it's referring to human judges. That is definitely impossible. Go to John 10. We've been here before. Psalm 82, then John 10. Why is this psalm important? Because Jesus referred to it. John 10. Are you learning something? Alright. I'll read John 10 first. Oh, we've read Psalm 82 anyway. John 10. I want to take it from the Septuagint. John 10. Now, what was the conversation? The conversation in John 10 was that in verse 30, I and my Father are one. That's what Jesus said. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have showed you from my Father. Of which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makes yourself God. Now listen well. You being a man makes yourself God. They are not referring to Yahweh. Listen well to what they didn't say. He said, I am my Father one. A card. Or in the Greek. Different. Now look at verse 34. Let's take 34 slowly. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods. Now, this 35 slowly. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture. So, did Jesus teach that there is only one God? No. If he called them gods. So, what were they arguing against? That he called himself a supernatural being. You get that? So now, Jesus now said, the scriptures called sons of God, Psalm 82. And the scriptures cannot be broken. And they know Psalm 82 was about rebellious gods. Right? Come on. So what's the point? What have I said that is strange? So let's read Psalm 82. Now in the Septuagint is Psalm 81. I'm going to read Psalm 82 for you from this translation, which is the Greek. This is where Jesus taught from. God stood in the assembly of the gods. In the middle, he judges the gods. How long would you judge unjustly and take the face of sinners? Is he talking about an earthly group of judges or supernatural beings? We've done this study, Job 15, Psalm 80. We've done this study before. Look at verse 3. Consider the orphan and the needy. Vindicate the low and the poor. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rescue them from the hand of sinner. They did not know, they didn't understand. Now, in darkness they pass through, all the foundations of the earth she will be shaken. Now, what's going on? That means, we just read Genesis 11, Jeremiah 32, God assigned the nations to who? Now, he's judging them because some have gone haywire. Who's following this now? Is he getting clear? Okay, he's now judging them. Some have gone haywire. Some have directed the attention to themselves and not to Yahweh himself. That's why there's a whole lot of thou shalt not worship other gods in the Old Testament. Let's see a few. Learning something here? This is what we talked before. Let's take Exodus 15 first. Look at verse 11. Exodus 15, 11. Let's take it together. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods, who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Among the gods, divine beings, who created them? God did. Amongst the gods, who is like you? Go to Psalm 89. Learning something here? And someone said, but how come the New Testament is silent? It's not silent on it. It uses codified language. And that is what we're studying. Are you learning something here? Huh? Very good. Psalm 89. Verse 6. Attack from 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. Material or supernatural? Huh? Oh, good. Done. Oh Lord, thy faithfulness in the congregation of the... Now the word there is holy ones. We're going to explore this. The saints referred to in the Old Testament were the supernatural beings. The holy ones. Look at verse 6. Let's take 6 together. Come on guys, let's go. For who in the heaven can be compared? So which means the heavens is referring to has supernatural beings. Go on. Who among the sons of the mighty? Are you learning something here? Look at verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the saints compared to saints community. Who are these saints? Spiritual beings, right? Go on. To be had the reverence of all that about him. O Lord God of hosts. Who are these hosts again? Good. Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, to thy faithfulness round about. So, is there only one God? No. No. But what is unique about Yahweh? He's the only uncreated one. He's the one who created all. For you have created all things. And for your pleasure. All things. Look at Colossians 1. Are you learning something here? You learning something here? Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Bam, 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 bam. All other gods, they are the works of men. That's not true. You are the only God. That is not true. There is none like you. That's correct. Do you understand? You can't say there's none like someone and say he's the only one. That, you say there's none. That means there's some people. Who is none beside thee doesn't mean that there is none that exists. It means they cannot be compared. Is that clear? All other gods, don't let false doctrine, no, wrong doctrine or incomplete teaching. You see, I explained it in this series to you. There is figurine where you find a graven heart. Right? You see, they'll paint something white. And they print, they have one doll. That is not what we are talking about. That one is toy. Okay, that's a toy. That's toy God. There are supernatural beings in this earth. Is that clear? I don't. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians 1. Let's take it together. Let's go. Verse 15. Who is the, talking about Jesus? Let's go. Who is the image of the invisible God? Alright? For by him were all things created. Let's go. That are where? In heaven and in earth. Now what does that mean? Visible and invisible. Is it making sense? Go on. Whether they be thrones, principalities, powers, all things were created. So this is summary of the sons of God, right? Are you here? 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So when you hear Jesus went to heaven and sat down, it's not a room. Are you in church? Sat down in one room. How many rooms can contain even Christians in Lagos? Hallelujah. So learning something here. Look at verse 4. Let's take it together. Let's go. As concerning those things. Let's take it again. As concerning therefore. Eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in this world. Now I know we have studied this, right? Let's go. And there's none other God but one. Now look at. This is. Get what he's talking about. Look at 5. Let's take it together. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many, you're talking about human beings? No. So is the New Testament silent about it? No. Ephesians 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Let's take 12 together and slowly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This must, hold on. This should open your mind. The word here is parle in Greek. It means our conflicts, our engagements as believers in this earth is not against flesh and blood. That's why any doctrine that makes you create human enemies is false doctrine. It's false doctrine. For we wrestle, let's take it together, not against flesh and blood, go on, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high. Hallelujah. Human beings? Nope. You learning something here? You learning something here? Against principalities. Colossians 2:15. So the death of Jesus was a spiritual warfare. The death of Jesus. So salvation for you and I has its primary effect in the supernatural. Remember? Let's take it again. Genesis 3. What's the focus? God and man in a sacred place. Genesis 6. Man as God's sacred place. Genesis 11. The whole earth. Don't forget that definition. So, turn to open to where now? Colossians 2. Learning something here? Talk to me, learning something here. Colossians 2:15. Let's go. Let's take 14 together and go to 15. Let's go. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. 15. Oh, wait a minute. Take it again. Having spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly. Are you talking about human beings? No. New Testament is not quiet. Not at all. The New Testament is not quiet. The New Testament lets you know that heaven is here. The invisible world is where you are. Come on. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 2. So I'll learn something here. Verse 6. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Let's take it together. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. Prince of this world, is it local government chairman? Supernatural beings? Good. Now, who gave them the right to the nations? God. Why? Because of man's rebellion. Who's following this? Is it making sense? Now, look at this now. 7. Let's go. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to have known. Let's take 8 together slowly. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when we see the death of Jesus, we see human agents, but no. He's dealing with supernatural beings. That's why when he came to arrest him, he said, now is your hour, the kingdom of darkness. He said, now is your hour. I'm sure those guys are held, maybe let's call it guns. You know what I'm saying?
Who is he talking to?
Me, I'm a Christian.
He said, now is your hour. The kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah.
Galatians chapter 4. No, 1 Corinthians 12.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, Paul said again, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led.
Dumb idols. Gentiles. Now, he's talking to a church filled with Jews and non-Jews. So, Gentiles, ethnos, means those outside the nation of God.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Look at Galatians 4. 4. Talk to me, learning something here? So, was the New Testament silent about the supernatural beings? No. It was very loud. It's very loud. Look at 7. Let's start from 6. We're going to study this more. Let's go. Because you are sons, we want to read together. Let's go. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Wherefore that no more is servant, but a son. If a son, I didn't hear you. The son, heir of God through Christ. Look at 8 and slowly. Howbeit, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Look at 9. After you have known God, turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements where you desire again to be in bondage. Paul is saying there are beings involved in bondage. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Let's take it together now. Let's go. I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3 together. Let's take it. Let's go. And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks where? In the children of disobedience, among whom we all had a conversation past, in the lust of our flesh, through the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Same thing. Come on, talk to me. Same thing. So God, in Genesis 11, allowed the nations to be under these beings. Supernatural beings. Now, go to Genesis 4. This is Romans chapter 4. Verse 15. Take it therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no man of submission on the day the Lord spoke unto you in the roar out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of the winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of the fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Look at 19. Lest you lift your eyes to heaven. Are you here? And when you see the sun, let's read it together, the moon and the stars. Hold on. Material or supernatural? God, thou shall be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God divided unto all nations. Can you see it's going back to Genesis 11? That is, they are not meant to be worshipped. Are you here? Good. They are not meant to be worshipped. This is Romans chapter 10. So 32. Sorry for that. We're back 32. Verse 12. So this is Romans 32, verse 8. God gave man his wish, but gave
angels temporarily, call them angels now, but sons of God, divine beings. Then, when that happened, in Genesis 12, he called out Abraham. What's Abraham's work? In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham is to recover back God's sacred people and sacred place. Who's following this? So Genesis 12 is to correct Genesis 11. Come on. Is it working? Very good. So watch this. Go to verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Let's take 17 together. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that newly came up, whom your fathers feared not. Okay. So we do have supernatural beings that God gave the earth to. Did they rebel against him? Alright? Did they seek to be worshipped? Right? Rather than lead men to worship God, they seek to be worshipped. Rather than lead men to worship God, they seek to be worshipped. We saw that in Isaiah 14, right? Can you remember? Lucifer? I want to be like the Most High. You remember? Come on. Come on. Seeking for worship. So God gave the nations over to the beings temporarily. So whenever you read inheritance, we're going to see that. Inheritance. This is what he's talking about. To give portions. So go to Psalm 82. Is this making sense? Is this making sense? Psalm 82. Have you had people say, it's not possible for the whole earth to have one God? Why? Because they go to different nations. They see that people worship different beings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me see how I'm learning something here. You see why it's important to read the Old Testament? Can you see it? Very important. So go to Psalm 82. Romans 1 first. Gotta move quickly. Put your hand in Psalm 82 again. Go to Romans 1. Want to read verse 20 through to 28. I'm going to skip some. So let's start from verse 20. Romans 1. Are you there? Let's go. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. 21. Let's take it together. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was... Genesis 11? Is that Genesis 11? Go on. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 23. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, forth the beings and creeping things. Now 24, slowly, let's go. 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to disorder their own bodies between themselves. So God gave them up. That means he allowed it, right? Come on. Come on, talk to me. Look at 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Look at 28. Let's go. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So, we can see consistently, God does not impose his will on man. He gave them over. Paradigm. He handed over. This is what you want. So what he did is he now put in what we call angels now, supernatural beings across the nations. God made man to act in his image and likeness. God gave the earth to man. But in sin, man turns it over to other beings. That's why you have people like Brother Hagin talk about man giving away his title deed. That's what sin does. Sin hands over your rights to someone else in the earth. You learning something here? You learning something here? Psalm 82. I'm going to read this from the Septuagint for you. God stood, verse 1 again, I'm taking it again, in the assembly of the gods. In the middle, he judges the gods. How long would you judge unjustly and take the places of sinners? Consider the orphan and the needy. Vindicate the low and the poor. Verse 4, deliver the poor and the needy. Rescue them from the hand of a sinner. They did not know, nor did they understand. In darkness they passed through. All the foundations of the earth will be shaken. Watch this now. That means that these folks rebelled. Verse 6. I said, you are gods, Elohim. Now it's not saying you are gods, that's new. You are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. Does that include the serpent? Huh? Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Genesis 11. Come on now. Good. Now you die like what? Man. That means he's not talking about men. Are you here? And as one of the rulers you fall. Now look at 8. I'm going to read the King James, Psalm 82. King James says, arise, O God. So that means we have two persons. Is that a trinity? Come on. God is talking to God. Are you here? Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit the nations. Glory to God. Thou shalt inherit. That means you will take it back. Is that it? Is that it? Take it back from who? The sons of God. The rebellious thing. Psalm 2. Glory to God. Say glory to God. You learning something here? Why, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Psalm 2 verse 1. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens. So this is spiritual. Are you here? Shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex in his sore displeasure. Let's take 6. Let's go. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Verse 7, let's go. I'll declare a decree. The Lord said to me, thou art my son. Go on. This day have I begotten thee. Verse 8, and slowly, come on. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen. Now the word heathen there is nations. Let's take it again. Ask of me, and I'll give the nations for your inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Put this in your Bible, the Great Commission. The uttermost parts of the earth for your inheritance. Why do we preach the gospel? We preach the gospel to recover back God's sacred place. Call it his inheritance. Now that word, Psalm 82, arise, O God. I'm going to explore it next week. The word arise there is the same Greek word, of course, in the Septuagint, used for the resurrection. Arise. So from the resurrection, Jesus will reclaim the earth from the resurrection. That's why when he rose from the dead, he said, go into where? All the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? Man now sits in that council above all the sons of God. We're going to see that. Amen. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples to of every nation. And that goes to which part in Genesis? Genesis 6.
3 or 11? Huh?
11.
Make disciples. We're going to see this on why the day of Pentecost also happened. We're going to explore it. So God wants to claim the earth. And that's important. Now go to 1 Corinthians 6. Let me just show you this quickly. 1 Corinthians 6. So we'll call the supernatural beings. Now there's this argument, if you've followed Nigeria's politics very well, you see there's somebody, people have called, they call it placeholder, where you're supposed to nominate a running mate. You know what I mean? There's somebody that is an interim person for some time till you find a replacement. So you have people call it the placeholder. There have been arguments, there's nothing like that in the constitution and all that. But the language is my concern this morning. Placeholder means stay for some time. I'm coming back. So we can call what God did in Genesis 11, He gave a placeholder. Okay, you guys do this until I'm able to find a suitable man. Hallelujah. And men that will take the nations for me. And that's why He called Abraham. Hallelujah. And Jesus rose from the dead. He's called the son of Abraham and the son of David. Let me see if you're following this. Is it making sense? 1 Corinthians 6. So that's Paul. Now, Paul has some guys in his church there. They go to police stations every week. Brother A from this fellowship takes Brother C from that fellowship. And they say, sorry, brother, I just have to arrest you. Anyway, do you know that? So Paul is in verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Now, we're going to explore this because now the New Testament writers now use the same phrases used for these sons of God, saints, for believers. You know why? Because man has now taken his place in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see that now. Do you not know? Let's take verse 2. Come on. Do you not know? Come on, let's take that. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world... But we read Psalm 82. Psalm 82 says, arise, O God, and judge. That's what Psalm 82 says. Let's go. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Let's take three together. Know ye not that we shall judge... This is Psalm 82, right? This is about, I thought this was about Jesus. Oh, we are in Him. Hallelujah. He says we shall judge the sons of God. Huh? Come on. Principalities and powers, rulers, dominions, we shall judge them. As we are going to see, because we are now seated on high. We are in God's Eden now. Hallelujah. We are in His secret place. You and I, we are in His secret place. Watch this now. We are His secret place. And we have a mandate to take the whole earth as His secret place. Let me see if you're following this now. That is the focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the death of Jesus is about man and the earth. Let's see a few texts. I'm just going to run through this. Learning something here? Come on, guys. Learning something here. So when you read principalities and powers, this has to do with areas, nations, locations. The New Testament is not silent. It's loud. Loud about it. Very loud. Now, time. Let me see what I can walk this out. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 5. For Samuel 5. Glory to God. For Samuel 5. Pretty hot. For Samuel 5. And verse 1. Now, it says, the Philistines took the ark of God and brought from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And the Philistines took the ark of God, okay, and brought it to the house of Dagon, and set it by Dagon. And when the of Ashdod rose early in the morning, come on, watch this. Behold, Dagon was falling upon the face of the earth. Oh, glory to God.
before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face. Watch this now. Let's take it. To the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the arms, that is, the first one looked like a joke. The head of Dagon, the both of his palms were cut off upon the threshold. And only the lump of Dagon was left to him. Now what happened? Let's take five and slowly. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon, nor any that came to Dagon's house, tread on the threshold of Dagon until this day. They knew that that place had been cleaned. They knew. They can go back there. Because the Old Testament talks about places. God told Israel, wherever the soles of your feet will tread upon is yours. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Same thing? Is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? So the gospel claims places and claims people. This is an idea of it. They said, wow, that means a God has been disinherited here. Someone has lost his hold in here. So where God is, he claims. We'll close here. We'll continue from there next week. So, when you have the believer, when you hear the believer seated on high, and you get to know that the believer has his place in Christ, we're dealing with supernatural things, not natural things. We said earlier that your identity is supernatural. That's how God made you. Some will find solace. Right? An identity. They try to get it with different vices. Some try to get it by human relationships. Some try to get it by science, knowledge. They crave for education to know more. But that craving is supernatural. Because your real identity, it's just like a fish. Wherever you put the fish, it wants to get to water. Every man in this earth, we have the same craving put there by God. The writer of Ecclesiastes says he has put eternity in every heart to find him. Acts 17, Paul says he has set the bounds so that we must seek him. Verse 26. And that's what we're going to continue studying from next week. Learn something? Stand to your feet, raise your hands. Bless them. I am.